This podcast is very not safe for work. This episode of Friday Night Fan Fiction was originally published on the Nerdy Show Network.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, I'm just doing something. Upstairs. Could you come down maybe like in an hour or two?
Yeah, well, I might have to do a few things.
Oh.
That won't make noise.
Well, it's not, it's not an issue whether you make noise. I'm reading really bad smut on the internet for people to listen.
For science!
For science as well.
Is that what you're drinking?
Yeah.
Hey.
What a time for you to come home.
For science.
Yeah,
The year is 2015. The world is once again engulfed in darkness. It has been 100 years since the last appearance of the Castle of Fanfiction, and as the full moon rises over this accursed land, a vast silhouette of towers and spires materializes, its form spreading to the far horizon. Every harbinger of good begins to feel empty inside, while the forces of evil grow ever more in strength. The Castle of Fanfiction, a sprawling mass of stone housing the worst horrors mankind can imagine and beyond. For every time the castle has appeared, the Nighthorse clan has also come forward to send it back to the void. Within these walls, the powers of the light will challenge Hell's greatest creations. Will our brave warriors, Valerie, Logan, David, and Steve-O, hold the candle of humanity aloft after the battle? Or will the flame be snuffed out by the terrors within? The only sure thing about this encounter is that it is a Friday. Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Ever talk about Animal Sanctuary?
No, I don't think we can't. It's final. No, it's not Final Fantasy Night. It is partly Final Fantasy, though. It's Final Fantasy Fanfiction Night.
I am excited.
Hey. It's Friday Night Fanfiction. Joining me tonight are our normal hosts, David and Logan, along with our guests, Garrett and Lucas. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, it's great to be back.
So, Garrett, you've been on the show before. Lucas, this is your first time. You are a Friday Night Fanfiction virgin.
I was at your panel at Con Bravo, the Friday Night Fanfiction reading.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I will actually be doing a variant of that panel this weekend at NekoCon. It's going to be wonderful. Ah, well, it's great that, you know, across Canadian lines, you're able to be with us here tonight.
Through the magic of the internet.
The magic of the internet, the magic of food and Ari's, because the first story we're reading tonight is a Final Fantasy XIII fic called Final Food and Ari 13. Yeah, who here likes Final Fantasy?
More importantly, who here likes Futanari?
Yes. All right, there's the story for tonight. And I do believe, Garrett, you will be leading us
off. Oh, wonderful.
Just go ahead to page 2 and read your section.
Final Futanari 13, Legend of the Futanari. The group was setting up camp for the night in a deep jungle on Grand Pulse. It had been an exhausting day filled with monster fights and traveling through rough Grand Pulse terrain. Vanille sighed with relaxation as she leaned up against a nearby boulder. She had been on her feet literally all day without rest and was quite sore. She was not very used to all this, unlike Lightning and Snow, who still looked as if they had plenty of energy to spare as they worked on setting up the camp. Fenga noticed how much she was suffering and told her to take it easy, despite her protest. Vanille's aching legs was not the only thing bothering her, though. She had a much larger problem she needed to take care of, and it had to happen soon or she was going to lose her mind. Just how much longer was Fang going to keep her waiting? Okay. Vanille gazed at Fang as she helped Snow gather firewood from a nearby tree. Vanille could not take her eyes off her fellow Pulsian friend. Vanille knew that Fang was aware of her issue and she had promised to help her with it as soon as a chance arrived. But that was about 3 days ago. Vanille could not wait another night for her release.
What's a Pulsian?
I think it's anybody who is born on Grand Pulse, but that's just me taking a stab at it.
It's not common knowledge anymore, but approximately 1 in 1,000 pulsing females are born with a penis.
Oh, no!
This does not mean they lack their woman parts, either. This rare breed of pulsing is very unique in that they have both sexual organs. They are capable of multiple extremely intense orgasms from both their vagina as well as their penis, which can also ejaculate continuously.
Which means that if they have continuous orgasms, they just deflate. It's like one of those stand-up clown things that you punch, just letting the air out very slowly.
But it's a big dick. There is a downside to this, though. Their sex drive is incredibly... That's a downside? Is incredibly high, and without proper release, they can become very uncomfortable. According to ancient, long-forgotten Grand Pulsian scriptures, these unique females are known as Futanari, and are said to be born under the Holy Star, which means that their fate is guided by the great divines and are capable of miracles.
Meaning that anybody who doesn't have two genitalia, well, you're just not special.
Or chosen by God, apparently.
Yeah.
Vanille's soreness was finally beginning to subside. She was sitting on a blanket in front of the warm campfire that was just recently ignited. She kept fidgeting around, oddly, due to her ever-increasing problem, but she hoped that nobody would take notice. After all, Fang was the only person who knew of her condition. Hope passed out some canned food to everyone, and they all began to eat while talking about what the plan was for tomorrow.
I hate Hope. He's the worst character in Final Fantasy history.
Hey, guys!
Is Hope the man in the trench coat?
No, Hope is the
He is
bitchy,
hardly a man.
No, the bitchy little boy who saw his mom die while Lightning was trying to save everybody and blamed Lightning for not saving his mom.
Clearly, there's time travel in this universe.
Fang came over from the other side of the fire and sat next to Vanille after she had finished eating. Vanille made a bit of an angry face to show Fang her displeasure of keeping her waiting for 3 whole days. But Fang just smiled and whispered into Vanille's ear, "Tonight, love."
"Tonight, you." "Hand banana, no!" Alright, David, you're up.
"Hand banana, no."
Oh, you sound so enthusiastic.
"Some time had passed and everybody was starting to give in to their fatigue, and fall asleep one by one in the tents that Hope had brought from home. You could hear Zaz snoring in his tent with an occasional chocobo chick chip."
I thought you said you could hear his ass snoring.
"Yeah." "Snow was instead sleeping out in an open, in the open, up against a tree, which could not have been comfortable. Lightning and Hope were sharing a tent, which was interesting, but Vanilla could not fall asleep if she was tied. Or if she tried."
What is it? Snively Whiplash tying Vanille to the train tracks. "I can't sleep here.
Just how long do you plan on keeping me waiting, Fang?"
the red-haired girl asked while looking uncomfortable.
Fang smiled and replied, "Everyone should be sound asleep by now." Fang then suddenly and without warning, put her slender hand up Vanilla's pink skirt and felt her giant bulge.
What, no fucking foreplay? Just going straight for the friggin'
for the goods!
You don't know their customs. You can't tell them how to live.
Yeah, you know.
Are you a Grand Pulsian?
I mean, it's
could be all.
Are you a Fuda Steve?
Keep writing.
Oh. I've seen it.
Jungle juice. Vanille gasped loudly at the surprise simulation and almost ejaculated into her panties.
"Not here!"
Vanille muffled. Even Fang was surprised at how rock hard Vanille was. Not to mention her panties practically felt drenched in sexual fluids. Fang thought to herself that maybe she did make her friend wait too long. But none of that will matter soon, because Fang had every intention of taking care of her friend tonight, no matter how long it took.
Wait, so she's already drenched in sexual fluids. Did she spring a leak somewhere? Like, is there a hole that's been drilled somewhere just to let the tension out while she walked?
The hole's not been drilled yet.
"The jungle's not very thick this way," Fang ordered her friend. Vanille and Fang quietly sneaked away from their dozing friends and crept into the Grand Pulse jungle. Vanille's cock pulsed in anticipation as she quietly and quickly followed her tan-skinned friend.
"You have to drink because you switched that."
"I don't give a fuck.
Come on!"
After 10 or 15 minutes of walking through the jungle, again, why is that capitalized? Fang finally stopped in an open clearing.
Because they're referring to the jungle from Guns N' Roses.
I prefer the Upton Sinclair novel.
"Welcome to the jungle! We got chicks with dicks!"
"This spot should do, right, Vanille?" Fang asked. Vanille could not care less about the location at this point, as long as it was private. "This spot will work," responded Vanille, not in quotations. Vanille tried her best to hide it, but her heart was racing and threatening to burst from her chest.
Oh, that's... Okay, that's not a sexual frustration problem there. You should get to the hospital.
She had not had release in so long that her panties were drenched from the sexual fluids of both her pants, her parts, and her cock was incredibly hard, which made it difficult to walk around normally.
All right, drinking for sexual fluids.
Vanille was sort of upset at her friend for making her endure this pain, since she knows of her condition. But she could not stay mad at her for very long, especially not when her friend has what she needs most.
Shriek? What was that noise? Shriek?
Fang was feeling kind of bad about torturing her friend since she knew that a Futanari needed release regularly.
Oh my god, we get it! She feels bad about not giving her dick!
I feel really bad about not taking...
You don't understand. Okay. Harry Potter really, really looked like a girl.
How long has it been since Vanille had an orgasm? It's been at least a few hundred years. Both Vanille and Fang were put into deep crystal stasis and remained that way until very recently. For them, it had not felt that long, but a lot of time had passed while they slumbered in crystal. Fang had to admit herself that she was very looking forward to this, as she has not had the opportunity to have an orgasm for as long as Vanille hasn't. In fact, the last orgasm each of them had was together hundreds of years ago at the orphanage on Grand Pau.
Whoa, at the orphanage.
Wait.
Hey, man.
I thought this was a separate universe from Final Fantasy VIII where they were all at an orphanage.
And
that's time progression, Logan.
How early does... You know what? I'm not going to ask of what the sexual maturity cycle is for a Pulsion. Lucas, it is your turn to read.
I won't keep you waiting any longer, Vanille. Please forgive me.
Oh god, that's Fang. Really creepy.
Wait, Fang's a chick, right?
Yes, Fang is a chick.
Fang then proceeded to remove her cobalt-colored garments with great haste, tossed them carelessly into a pile against a tree, and stood completely naked in front of Vanille. This is what you want, right? Please use my body to your heart's content, Fang said as her voice was filled with lust. Vanille's heart was beating quickly. Her release was so close that she could hardly contain herself from ejaculating this very instant. Vanille quickly dropped her garments at her feet, finally freeing her thick 8-inch cock from its prison.
Well, if it's that restricting, maybe you should possibly get some different kind of undergarments.
She wears a skirt, though.
Well, if it's like one in every, like, 1,000 Pulsions, you'd think they would...
One in 1,000 is actually a very common occurrence.
Yeah.
You know about the belly button trick, right? If you got a boner and you're walking around, just stick it right up the top of your pants, and if it needs to, it can just go right in your belly button. Doesn't work when you're at work with business attire.
Pre-cum was already leaking from the tip of her penis, as well as clear fluid gathered around her aching pussy. Fang stared at Vanille's unique body in awe. She could not help but always be impressed at the sight. Sometimes she wished she was born a Futanari so she could experience the intense orgasms only they are said to be able to achieve. But I guess she should count herself lucky being able to play with one. Fang started to fondle Vanille's supple, pale breasts with her hands, massaging them in the way that Vanille liked. Every so often, pinching her pink nipples. Every time Fang would pinch Vanille's nipples, her cock would twitch and leak even more clear fluid.
So it's like a shower thing, just turning on the faucets.
Oh my god, let the hot water run.
The fire hose, turn it down!
It had gotten so bad that vaginal fluid was also starting to leak down Vanille's legs and thighs. Not that Fang was anywhere near dry herself.
Hold up a sec. Did you just say vaginal?
Wait, is it vaginal?
Vaginal tomato.
Ew, I don't want to read about those.
No, thank you.
Subway, eat fresh.
Vanille was moaning loudly and twitching. Fang knew that she could not take any more foreplay. I know you can't take any more, Vanille. This is to apologize for keeping you waiting so long.
I'm going to apologize by teasing you more.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Logic!
They all grind until they get to the boss. Fang said as she got on her hands and knees, offering her soaking pussy to her twin-tailed friend. I am not going to last long. Fennel moaned as she grabbed onto Fang's hips and began to insert the tip of her cock into Fang's wet opening.
All right, I have to ask here, because this has yet to be established. Balls or no balls? Which Futanari live in this universe?
I'm going to say balls.
All right, I'm going to say no balls.
Yeah, no balls. How would it get into the vagina? You can't have something in the way.
And balls just make it gross.
It's all right. You have been waiting a while, right? Fang gasped as she felt the rest of Vanille's hot and throbbing member slide into her pussy with no resistance. Vanille moaned. She had almost forgotten what it felt like to be inside another woman. At times like this, she was glad to have been born a Futanari. She felt Fang's warm, moist pussy tighten around her dick with every thrust.
I know, warm and moist is usually used to describe toaster strudel. Never gonna have breakfast the same way again.
Vanille started pumping into her raven-haired friend, harder for all she was worth. I'm coming, Fang. I'm coming hard. Vanille roared in ecstasy.
Let it all out, Vanille. Shoot every drop you have been saving inside of me. Fang screamed, why is screamed capitalized, as she pushed up against Vanille's dick to make sure she got every last drop. These words sent Vanille over the edge and into heaven as she shot ropes of thick cum into Fang's hot cherry. I hate ropes of cum. I hate that terminology so much.
I'll just have to shoot my ropes on you.
It's not Indiana Jones. Vanille was moaning and screaming with every intense, pulsating ejaculation. Hot cum was beginning to leak outside of Fang's vagina and drip onto the grass as Vanille was still pumping out her thick cream deep inside her. Vanille was in another world. Okay, so how was this happening? Oh, with drool running down her mouth and chin, she kept pumping into Fang.
No, Steve, she was in another world. It's that song from Final Fantasy X.
A whole new world.
No.
A whole new slit to stick it in.
Inside me. Another one. Oh my.
Yeah. Orgasms are cool, but not if you make the demon face with your eyes rolling to the back of your head and the drool running down. Like, it shouldn't make you lose 100 points of your IQ every single time you can.
Another one. Oh my. Yeah.
She kept pumping into Fang, spurting even more hot cum into her. Fang's pussy was making lewd sounds as her pussy was filled up with cum, yet Vanille continued to slam into her friend.
Her puss was going, another one, oh my god.
Fang was astonished. She had never seen Vanille like this before. She had also never seen her ejaculate this much before, or even knew that it was possible. I mean, she had x-ray vision, so she could see her ejaculate. Well, the alcohol's already hitting hard.
Ejaculate.
Okay. Since she was a Futanari, her ejaculations were always far above average, but this was incredible! I guess when you keep a Futanari waiting, this is the result. It turned Fang on so much, having her pussy turned into a gooey, hot mess by her best friend. She was also experiencing several intense orgasms as more cum shot into her. Also, I almost said grocery instead of gooey. Vanille's orgasm had lasted about 2 minutes so far and was nearing its ultimate climax. Vanille's hips were moving on their own, continuously thrusting for whole length, as deep as it would go, into Fang's inviting pussy. So did it just hang out invitations to come on in? That is one talent.
It's like a welcome mat.
You're invited. It's little cards.
Shaved very delicately into the muff fur. Vanille's vagina also began to squirt clear liquid with every thrust of her cock.
God, enough with the liquids already.
At this point, they're going to fill an Olympic-sized pool by the time this fic is over. Wow. Vanille was experiencing the kind of orgasm only a Futanari can experience. We get it! The ejaculation of both a penis and a vagina simultaneously. After a few more thrusts, and after both her pussy and cock had ejaculated their final drops, she collapsed on top of her tan-skinned friend, barely conscious. Holy shit, that wasn't clear fluid, that was blood draining from her. She has
somebody get her a water or Gatorade or something.
Someone get a phoenix down.
Yeah. Fang also fell to the ground on the cold grass as she felt Vanille's dick slide out of her messy opening. You know, there's so much fluid there you could finger paint with it.
You could slip and slide.
She could hear Vanille gasping for air. They were both completely drenched in sweat and sexual fluids. I'm just gonna drink for fluids now, because that word is getting a lot of use here. Not to mention the endless stream of Vanille's thick cum that was still slowly oozing out of Fang's crotch. Ew. Friggin' self-serve, soft-serve ice cream. Did you enjoy yourself, Vanille? With no quotes. Fang questioned her sweaty, exhausted friend. Vanille was still gasping for air, but finally managed to regain the ability to think and form words and got off of her friend and leaned against a nearby tree. And fuck you, that was a run-on sentence. That was incredible. Fang, I never experienced that intensity before. I did not think I would ever stop ejaculating. It was unbelievable. I think I am going to sleep really good tonight, now that I have finally had release. Vanille said while still having difficulty catching her breath completely. Also, stop asking me why I hate ropey stream so much. It's just my thing. I don't like ropes being used to describe a liquid discharge. Not how it works.
I'm glad my pussy was able to help you, Vanille. It was interesting to see what pent-up Futanari can unleash. I promise I won't keep you waiting so long next time, for my sake and yours. But we need to find a river and wash ourselves. Our crotches are literally covered in... Fang laughed as she got up off of the grass, causing even more of Vanille's thick discharge to run down her legs. Vanille agreed. She stood up, but wobbled a little bit, her legs still weak from her orgasm. Fang and Vanille grabbed their clothes and headed to a nearby river stream. They passed on the way to camp. My mom just called me weird. She's right.
Wait, is your mom listening to this?
She was in the other room.
I've told my parents repeatedly, my mom and my stepdad, to just never pay attention to anything I do on the internet. It's also why I have not friended my mom on Facebook.
Probably for the best. Chapter 2, Path of the Futanari. It's like Way of the Ninja, but slightly different.
It's like Samurai Jack, just with chick dicks.
Yeah.
Jack.
Alright, let me put it a little closer. Is that better?
Much better, thank you.
It's been 2 days since Vanille had her amazing release with the help of her best childhood friend, Fang. Fang would have loved to help out Vanille every day, but the opportunity did not often arise when you traveled with a group of people in a dangerous and harsh environment, such as Grand Pulse has become after hundreds of years of no civilization. What is Grand Pulse? I didn't play those games.
Grand Pulse is that it's the planet they're on!
Gotcha. The land of Grand Pulse had been overrun with gigantic, powerful monsters and ruthless... Let's say that's falsy?
It's somewhere like that.
Yeah, it's falsy.
That used Grand Pulse and its inhabitants as their playthings. Grand Pulse was now truly a land of the survival of the fittest. The weak were quickly annihilated by the strong. And the strong were quickly devoured by the mighty. And the regular monstrous inhabitants of Grand Pulse were nothing but fleas in the presence of the immortal, everlasting gods known as the Falsi. It's almost been a week since our airship crashed from Cocoon due to hostile sky wyverns and landed on Grand Pulse. In the Valley of Valis Media, to be precise. Although it has been hundreds of years since Fang and Vanille were put in their crystal slumber, they still remember the area well. It was just extremely fortunate that they ended up in familiar territory. Ever since we landed on Pulse, we had been desperately searching for a way to remove our brands. Time was slowly ticking away. If we did not fulfill our focus soon, then we would surely all become monstrous, Seeth?
Yes.
But Vanille tried not to think that way and kept an upbeat attitude about the situation, no matter how bleak it seemed. And little did the red hair Pulsian realize, the group depended on her to keep up morale and to keep hope alive.
Alright, so basically, here's what I gleaned from my 6 hours playing Final Fantasy XIII. You become a Lassie when you've been chosen by the Falsi gods to have a mission in life. you get this really wicked tattoo, and if you don't fulfill your mission, you get turned into a monster, and if you do fulfill your mission, you die.
That sounds...
No, you get immortality in the form of being frozen in crystal for goddamn ever.
Oh, I thought you... immortality is...
It's pretty shitty all around.
I was gonna say, in effect, death. And it's, like, how are you supposed to root for anybody in a world so cruel? Anyway.
Like, this one is, like, super malicious about it.
It really is. And that combined with hope, just, I couldn't play anything. Please keep reading, Logan.
The group of the sea had decided to take a short rest when they came across a small pond of clear water in order to rest and refill their canteens. The weather on Grand Pulse was as brutal as its wildlife. The days were scorching hot, and the nights were ice cold. When it rained, it poured, and when it thundered, giant bolts of electricity would strike down trees and scar the land as if they were punishing the land of Grand Pulse itself. Frequent breaks were required in order to prevent heat stroke and dehydration. Everyone was on edge due to time running out of their Lassie brands. They had been traveling the lands of Grand Pulse for almost a week, yet they found absolutely nothing that would help them with their problem. The only things that they had managed to find were monsters, ancient ruins, and more monsters. And more Holloways, and more Holloways,
and more monsters, and ancient ruins, and Harry Potter was very effeminate. We're going back to Garrett.
And more monsters. Hope had decided to venture out a bit and gather some fruit for the journey ahead. Lightning had warned him not to wander off too far. If you get lost in an uninhabited world, the chances of finding you will be slim to none. It's been about 20 minutes since Hope went out collecting supplies, and the group was starting to get a bit worried. He should have been back by now. Lightning was first to break the silence. He's probably just found a lot of fruit. He knows what he is doing. Snow piped up.
Fruit, if you know what I mean. It's
We're gonna
juicy.
Get to that later. Suddenly, Saz's chocobo chick came out
Zash.
Flying. Shash. Sash?
Zash.
Zash. That guy's chocobo chick came flying out of the jungle, flying erratically around the group and jumping on Vanille's head.
Squawk. Squawk.
Squawk.
Are we doing the Mighty Duck sing?
Quack, squawk. Quack, quack, Mr. Ducksworth.
It almost seemed like it wanted us to follow her. What is this us bullshit? Is like the narrator a character now? Should we follow it? Vanille asked the group with concern. Maybe she found something. Lightning said as she got off the boulder she was sitting on and began to follow the chocobo chick.
That was a question, by the way. No descending cadence. It has to go up at the end.
Maybe she found something.
There you go.
Lightning said as she got off the
boulder. It sounded like somebody like grabbed your butt on the last syllable of the sentence.
The rest of the group quickly followed Lightning and the chocobo chick for about 5 minutes until they spotted something or someone up ahead.
Goddamn 5 minutes.
No, it's minutes. It's not mins.
I was referencing Sonic and the Search for Love.
No!
That's 15 men. It was Hope lying unconscious on the ground, and I'll drink for that.
Yay! Yay! I'm so happy Hope is lying unconscious on the ground.
He's not unconscious, not dead. He's just unconscious, not dead.
Yeah, no. I like how you said it better.
You really hate this child.
I really do!
Lightning said as she noticed Hope's brand was changing color, which was a sign of the impending doom of an LC that cannot complete his focus.
It's pronounced Lissy.
Lissy.
Channel your most stereotypical inner Frenchman for that apostrophe bullshit.
Lissy.
Lissy. Snow gently picked up the unconscious Hope and carried him back to their temporary camp. Snow placed him under a tree where it was well shaded. It did not take long for Hope to regain consciousness, but when he did, he grabbed his brand on his left wrist in pain.
Two things this story does great. Trees and fluids.
Not enough fluids. We're running out of time. We might have as little as 1 week left. Lightning said coldly as she paced around the camp, desperately thinking for a next course of action that would produce results. I think we should go to Arba, Vanille spoke up. It's mine and Fang's hometown, although I'm sure it's nothing but a ruin now. I think it'll be the next best place to look. Vanille tried her best to persuade her friends. She was not sure if there would really be clues there. Fuck.
Yeah, it's hard. And I'm not talking about Vanille's dick.
Not yet, anyway.
Are you talking about
Which, that? I haven't read any smut yet. This is bullshit. But she honestly did think that it would be a good gamble. Also, she really was destined to become a Sith. She really wanted to visit her home one last time. Fang looked at Vanille with great concern and asked if she was sure about this. Vanille nodded in response and reassured Fang that it was defiantly the right choice. the place where the Pulse Falsi lay dreaming. Lightning was worried that it would not produce any results, but gave in ultimately because of Vanille and Fang's history with the place. It was best to trust the people who were born and raised on Grand Pulse if you needed to find something important. And as it stands, these are the last two Pulsians left, as far as she knew. Excuse me.
Snow and Zaz agreed with Fang. Hope was fine with the plan. But he told the group that he would be better off staying behind.
Yay! Also, wait, I thought he was still unconscious.
And that he only get in the way and slow down the progression.
He's very aware
Hope
of his...
was lying, though. Yes, Hope was lying, though.
He's very aware of his own use in the story now.
He was useless. No one liked him. He was rejected from future games.
I'm waiting for the rap part.
The true reason he wanted to be left behind was because he was secretly too scared. He was too scared to see people get hurt because of him. He was scared.
Somebody get the friggin', like, the cane to pull him off stage.
Why am I not allowed to have fun on my own show?
You are allowed to have fun in your own show.
He was too scared to see people get hurt because of him. He was deathly afraid. Hey, he was scared. Deathly afraid, terrified, shiny at the elbows.
Morbidly ambiguous.
Mortality. He was deathly afraid that he would be a hindrance and a burden. It's a shame, though, because it kind of already was that. Which would ultimately lead to his friends getting injured or even possibly killed.
Yay, death!
Suddenly, Hope's brand began to glow. Emitting a blinding light and summoning a gigantic walking fortress, Alexander.
Oh, wow.
Please say he has to fuck Alexander.
No, oh, God.
He's like, you're about ready to become the castle.
Oh, no, not Sonic again.
Alexander, his friends assured him that Alexander was summoned in response to Hope's feelings and that it came from inside him. Hearing his friend's words filled Hope with courage. He did not know that he possessed. And with the help of his friends, he conquered Alex and found the strength to continue his journey. So wait, in one paragraph, he went from terribly afraid to fucking king of the castle?
Also, wait a minute. I just want to clarify here. They said that the gigantic walking fortress came from inside him?
Well, I would come from inside somebody too, you know?
Came out his butt.
Brings a whole new word.
Also, the next line is pretty great.
Why am I imagining that scene from Ace Ventura when nature calls where he comes out of the rhino?
Please read this.
With all that drama out of the way, thank God, the group started their journey to Oruba. Oruba.
It's the burp noise from Rick and Morty.
But to reach Vanille and Fang's hometown, they would first need to travel through the Acolyte Steps. Alkalite Steps. Mahabahara Septera. Sul in Springs,
Sul,
the Shrine of the Silver Monkey, and other dangerous areas. It was going to be a long journey, but Vanille knew it would be all worth it once they reached Rimber. The group finally managed to make it to the steps and was immediately awestruck at the sight before their eyes. It immediately... It appeared to be an extremely grassy, vast land that stretched out for infinity. In the distance, they could see creatures that had to be at least 50 stories high stomp across the landscape. They had somehow landed in Final Fantasy XV. Daytime was quickly turning into dusk as they made their way across the vast land. Fang told them that to cross the Acolyte Step, Arkilt Steps, it will likely take 3 days on foot. So they have a week and they're putzing around for 3 days going to this people's hometown.
Yeah.
Somebody's gotta fuck.
She also informed them that it would not be wise to travel at night since that is when the truly vicious beast came out to play.
Like her penis.
Yes. Lightning decided that they had made good enough progress for today and to set up camp.
Wait a minute. They walked like 10 feet.
That's good progress, I guess.
All right,
the
guys.
Spot they chose seemed reasonably secure. It was between two giant rocks that were so massive they may have been miniature mountains. Snow and Zaz came setting up the tent, while Hope got the fruits he collected earlier in the day out of his pack and divided them up evenly among everybody. There were not many trees around, so a campfire was out of the question. Their only sources of light were from the stars and a small portable lantern that Hope lowercase, had brought with him. So it's just the emotion, hope, at that point. Everybody was so exhausted after their long trek through the steps that they immediately turned off the lantern and passed out after they finished their food. But not everybody was sound asleep just yet.
Of course!
Fang and Vanille were still awake in their tent talking about various things that weren't really important.
You know, it's very fun being a Futanari.
But there was a reason why these two were still awake after everybody else drifted off into slumber.
They were trying to get BlizzCon tickets.
After they were positive that everybody else was asleep, they started fooling around a little in their tent, but making sure to stay completely silent.
Remember, you have to get all the pieces in there before the timer goes, or everybody's gonna wake up and our game of perfection is ruined.
Fang put her hand up Vanille's pink halter top and fondled Vanille's soft breasts.
Do they have one set of fucking clothes?
Yes.
Oh yeah, it's a fun.
Oh, you really gotta take that penis out. I mean, if you don't take that penis out, we really won't be able to do anything. I don't want to take my penis out, Fang. What am I gonna do with my penis? You're gonna put it in my butt, Fang. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
Fang doesn't even have a penis.
Who cares?
Vanille could not help but letting a few muffled moans escape her lips. Did I read that right? Could not help but letting a few.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a really weird sentence.
Don't question yourself. Just keep going.
Vanille cannot keep quiet for long, and neither could Fang. They agreed they would need to sneak away from camp if they wanted to continue without restriction. Both Vanille and Fang knew the spot quite well. Those two giant rocks were even there hundreds of years ago.
Oh my goodness, we fucking get it. You've established the fact that they've been asleep for like 1,000 fucking years.
The two giant rocks are symbolic of Vanille's huge balls.
There's so much filler here!
No. It's symbolic of how feminine Harry Potter looks.
No.
Of course! It was truly amazing how much Grand Pulse was left unchanged by time. After a short walk, they deemed their current location a suitable spot.
Alright, drop your panties.
Fang was clever enough to bring a blanket for them to lie on and proceeded to unroll it onto the grass. Fang set the blanket and grabbed Vanille's hand to bring her onto it as well.
Sat on the blanket, so that's a drink. Also, I have to point out, you have a minimalist party that's trekking a long way and is, you know, very restricted by time. Why would you take an essential piece of equipment like a blanket so you could jizz all over it?
But they're all sleeping. No one will know.
They'll know when the blanket is fucking crunchy in the morning.
Okay, you gotta just fuck
wipe
too.
The jizz off, stupid.
With what? The rocks?
Yes, actually.
No, that's not how it works.
I felt sorry for you last time, but this time, I also get a turn. Fang said as she closed in on Vanille and invaded her mouth with her hot, probing tongue.
Warning, penetration alert, warning.
Vanille was a bit taken aback at this sudden invasion, but it did not take her long to launch a counterattack with her own tongue. And proceeded to enter her friend's mouth as well. The two of them sucked each other's tongues passionately. But in reality, only a few minutes had passed.
The war between the tongues lasted long into the night. They had to have a mediator come in to grant a peace treaty afterwards.
Oh yeah, it was a really long process. It took about a week, and then they all like...
And they died. All died anyway, yeah. The end, game over.
No, they got put in crystals.
See, Revival Fantasy 15, everybody.
They got put into crystals, and then they were used as butt plugs for the gods. The end. There you go.
There you go.
Butt plugs for the gods sounds like a pretty cool metal band name. The two of them finally broke the kiss, gasping for air. How long has it been since we kissed like that?
Oh, like 3 minutes.
No. And she licked her own lips, savoring the taste of her cute friend.
Do they even have toothbrushes?
A few centuries? Vanille said, jokingly as she stripped off her pink garments. That's enough for the warm-up.
And the pitch!
That's a warm-up?
Fang said as she stripped off her clothes as well and sat on the blanket with her legs wide open, exposing her glistening slit.
She had miles and miles of gold ore inside her vagina.
You know what to do, love. Vanille understood exactly what her friend wanted. Without a single word or hesitation, she got into position so that her face was directly in front of Fang's crotch. Fennel could not help but notice it was already dripping wet with anticipation.
So what, is her crotch Tim Curry now?
It was also a good opportunity for a little payback. Fennel started by lightly blowing on Fang's wet opening.
Oh wait, hold on.
That blowing into the vagina is...
I am a sex expert. I know this stuff. This got quite an interesting reaction out of Fang. Fennel liked the response that she was getting and continued to blow on different areas of Fang's nether region. I was waiting for that. She blew gently on her opening, on her clitoris, and even her anus. But she refused to use her tongue for now. Fennel could tell that her tribal friend was getting a little impatient. And that is exactly what the Futanari wanted.
Hey, Fryman! How long are you going to keep torturing me, Fennel? Fang said as her pussy continued to leak fluids from the stimulation of Vanille's hot breath. Oh yeah, Fryman, you picked a good one tonight. It felt good, but she needed more if she wanted to come. Like you tortured me the other day, Vanille said snidely. Come on, I told you I was sorry. We just did not have the opportunity. Fang was practically begging Vanille for her tongue at this point. And Vanille enjoyed every second of it. Yeah!
This makes me feel so wrong because it fits so well.
Like a wiener.
Vanille was having a very difficult time resisting giving in thanks to her Futanari Ferrari sex drive. Vanille eventually decided that it was time to dig in for real. Dig in. Dig your heels in, like the Jets at the Super Bowl. Vanille started by planting soft wet kisses around Fang's wet pussy, but not directly on it. She proceeded to lick and kiss the inside of Fang's drenched thighs. Vanille could see the sexual fluids building around Fang's crotch, that's a drink, which were leaving quite the puddle on the blanket, yeah! I need it, Vanille. Please fuck me with your tongue, please! Fang begged in ecstasy. This time, Vanille decided to go all out and penetrated Fang's hot opening with her tongue. She could hear Fang scream in surprise and in pleasure, but she just kept wiggling her tongue inside of Fang's drenched pussy. With every lick, Vanille could feel all of Fang's juices flowing into her mouth, and she happily swallowed every delicious drop. Because they didn't have any water out there in the desert. Oh, Vanille, it feels so good. Please keep doing that. Right there. Fang's eyes were rolled back in pleasure as she pushed her crotch up against Vanille's face in the hope of getting her tongue to probe even deeper into the hole. Her hole. Fuck!
Yes, her hole, fuck.
That is what's going on here.
Fang was in a land of pure bliss as her sweaty breasts heaved with each thrust of Vanille's tongue. Vanille decided that it was time to finish off a Ravenhand friend. She got the knife out.
Oh.
Alright. Wait, what?
I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, that's a very ominous thing to say, though.
Yeah, a little bit, bruh.
She began to massage her friend's swollen clit as she probed Fang's opening with her tongue into her deepest depths, taking in all of her delicious sexual juices.
I'm drowning here.
I'm coming, Vanille! Fang yelled as she kept pushing her crotch into Vanille's drenched face. Vanille proceeded to eat her friend's leaking crotch for all it was worth. She wanted to drink every drop of Fang's juice.
I think leaking may be one of the most unsexy words.
Suddenly, Fang's body exploded in a torrent of pleasure and ecstasy. Kaboom! Fang's pussy felt like it was on fire as she could feel herself release into Vanille's welcoming mouth. Logan, please take this away from me.
Vanille tried her best to get every drop, but it proved to be impossible.
I just imagine she's standing at the bottom of the screen, of, you know, somebody's tossing little ropes of cum and you're...
I'm telling you, ropes of cum are real.
It's like a beat 'em and eat 'em.
A lot of it managed to get onto her face and into her hair. Oh, gross. great.
Oh, that's the worst.
That is the worst.
It's just shampoo!
No, it's not just shampoo. Vanille continued to lick Fang's crotch until her orgasm had finally ended. That was amazing, Vanille. Fang groaned while still basking in the afterglow of her orgasm. Fang then remembered that her friend had to be taken care of as well. A quick glance at Vanille's crotch revealed a massive erection and wet pussy that needed a sigh. Futanari sure were a handful. Are you ready for your turn? Fang asked Vanille as she started to lightly stroke Vanille's dick. Vanille immediately lost all feeling in every part of her body besides her lower parts. It was almost as if she were paralyzed. Vanille was letting out soft moans as Fang continued to massage her throbbing. You should last a lot longer this time, right, Vanille? Fang asked as she suddenly took Vanille's length into her hot mouth, sending Vanille into a world of...
Little louder, Logan.
Is that better?
Yes, please stay that close the entire time. I want to hear you breathing down my neck.
You're welcome. Ah, Fang, was all that Vanille managed to utter before she fell onto her back as Fang had her way with her male half. Fang continued to suck Vanille's Futanari cock as if trying to milk it dry. Fang could taste all of the pre-cum that was building up at the tip of Vanille's penis as she kept massaging it with her tongue. Fang also decided to insert a finger into Vanille's moist pussy for double stimulation.
Fang, don't. That's too sensitive.
Vanille yelled while losing her mind to the feeling of Fang's tongue on a saliva-drenched cock, as well as the pleasure of Fang's finger massaging the insides of her lady parts. Fang did not show her Futanari friend any mercy as she inserted another finger into Vanille's sopping pussy, all the while continuing to milk Vanille's throbbing cock with her mouth and tongue. Vanille could feel... No, fuck. Goddamn shit. Ass! Fang could feel Vanille's erection beginning to throb inside of her mouth, which meant that Vanille was very close to unloading her hot, Futanari cum inside of her. Vanille was at a limit and could do nothing in order to hold back the storm of pleasure. After a few more loud moans, Vanille proceeded to spurt thick cum into Fang's mouth while her pussy tightened around Fang's drenched fingers.
You know, I'm surprisingly not turned on at all by this.
This is very pedestrian.
Yeah.
Have you guys desensitized me that much?
Maybe.
Pat Buchanan.
Ooh. Back to Garrett, man.
Back to read some good shit.
Yes. No, wait, if you get to read good stuff, then I have to give it to somebody else. Eternal disappointment.
Oh,
no, go ahead.
Oh, man. Fang started cleaning up her friend's cock and pussy with her mouth, making sure that no cum remained from either part. But she could not help but notice Vanille was still rock hard. These Futanari really are something else. I'm sorry, Fang. You know I can't be completely satisfied until I use that pussy of yours. Vanille said as she pushed Fang onto her back. Because she's Australian, right? She's got that weird accent.
Oh, yeah, right.
Crikey. There's no need to be rough now. I promised I would take care of you. Fang said as she pulled Vanille's sweaty body on top of her. Vanille penetrated her friend from the front this time, thrusting her cock deeper inside Fang while their nipples repeatedly brushed up against each other's. Due to the humidity on Grand Pulse, both girls were very sweaty from their sex workout. It was kind of difficult for Vanille to avoid slipping off Fang's body, but the smell of sex amplified by the sweat was intoxicating for both of them. Fuck me, Vanille. Fuck me deeper.
My sphincter is eternally closed now.
Fang said as she grabbed Vanille's ass and pulled her dick further into her wet opening. Let's see. Vanille grabbed Fang's sweaty breasts and sucked in her pink nipples as she continued to plow her friend's tight hole. She could feel her childhood friend having multiple orgasms from the tightening around her cock. Every time Fang's pussy did this, Vanille had to fight not to let herself come yet. Oh, Fang, your pussy feels like it's sucking me in. It feels Too good. I'm going to come soon, Fang. Vanille exclaimed as she began pumping harder and deeper into her tattooed friend's pussy. Oh, Vanille, come deep inside me. Do it now. Fang screamed while being consumed by lust. With those words, Vanille could not hold back any longer and took her final lust-filled thrust deep into Fang's pussy. The floodgates opened and Vanille's throbbing cock let out an explosion of hot cum inside of Fang's pussy.
All right, that's enough.
Vanille continued to pump into Fang's warm pussy, making sure that every last drop of Futanari cum was out of her so that it would finally be satisfied. They don't need to keep reminding us that she's a Futanari. I think we got it from here. After about 30 seconds of pumping her cum into Fang, her Futanari cock finally went soft and she was finally free of her Futanari curse, if only for a short time. That's a curse? Vanille pulled her cock out of Fang, allowing all of her built-up cum to slowly drip out of her friend's vagina. Vanille and Fang both relaxed on the soft, if not a bit damp, blanket while looking up at the stars in the scorched cocoon. Both girls were completely exhausted and a total mess. Sex with a Futanari is always a huge mess. Just like before, a lot of thick Futanari cum was leaking out of Fang's crotch. Not to mention, this blanket was also pretty much ruined. But Fang did not mind any of it. She loved Vanille with all of her heart, and she would protect her from anything in this world or the next. She grabbed Vanille's hand and felt Vanille grab hers back. As long as they were together, there was nothing that they couldn't accomplish.
It's over.
I know. I wanted more Fuda.
I miss it already.
I know. It was wonderful. Well, we're just breezing through this. So
you're
it's
welcome.
Hi, Val.
Hello.
Hey.
All right, we're moving on to Steamy Kitchen now. Because, obviously, now that Halloween's over, it's Christmas! So we're gonna read some Nightmare Before Christmas to get into the Christmas spirit! Yes, well, anyways, this is Steamy Kitchen, and we are going to have David start, because it's his turn.
Steamy Kitchen, by the Ticket Collector, original source. Bunch of dashes. Sally was doing dishes! It was her turn for the week!
Hold on!
Which was by no means good for her.
Hold on a second! Just the way you said Sally was doing dishes.
What? That's what's there.
Okay.
She hated doing dishes because she had a distinct wariness towards wet food stuck on plates. She always donned rubber gloves and an apron to make sure she never directly touched anything in the sink.
She was wearing a pair of tight jeans and nothing else since she practically lived in Jack's apartment.
It was often easier to walk around with no clothes on at all. There was a naughty joy in wearing nothing except jeans. It also helped her boyfriend was more than eager to service her insatiable lust.
Her naked breast rubbed against the apron in a lovely way and had her nipples painfully hard while she scrubbed. She was constantly checking the clock to see if Jack's job was over yet.
Plainfully, that's a new word now.
She experimentally thrust her chest for strain against the apron to apply some friction to her breast. Her nipple scraped against the rough material and drew a small gas from her.
I don't get turned on by that much friction. I don't know about you guys.
She's dead, so it makes sense.
She shook her boobs in a bit to swish them across the apron to clean her nipples and causing several wonderful months to escape.
She was finding new ways to pleasure herself every day. Sally was often experimenting when Jack wasn't home. She much preferred his awesome cock to satisfy her. But work always came first with him.
Wait, experimenting?
Yeah,
I'm intrigued.
She said Sally was often experimenting.
I know, I'm intrigued.
She didn't mind, though. She always found his hand where the heart... She always found his hardworking attitude attractive. It was just irritating that she was always starving for a good fuck when he wasn't there. She had used just about everything in the apartment to satisfy her cravings.
Vibrators, clips, cucumbers, pens, rolling pins, deodorant sticks.
Lamps?
Lamps?
However, the things that always sent her into
I love lamp.
However, the things that always sent her into a mind-blowing orgasm were the things that smelled like
Pepper Jack.
Jack had a very distinct sense. It made sense since he was dead. It had a feminine twist of lavender and nightshade for elegance, but mostly rotted flesh. But a manly aftershave smelling component as well. The rotting flesh. Jack wore the scent all the time, and it made Sally want to yank down his pants and suck his dick. Because he had one of those, being
All bones.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
I mean, I guess.
Only one bone mattered.
Smell drove it crazy.
Well, yeah, it's the dick bone, Dave. Don't you have a dick bone?
Don't you have a baculum?
No.
And the best part was that the smell lingered over the whole apartment. Everything smelled like Jack. One whiff, and her panties soaked. Sally Afton buried her nose in Jack's clothes to breathe in the intoxicating smell. More often than not, she touched herself while she did it. He occupied her every waking moment thought. Every time she closed her eyes, his face came to mind. Every time she slept, she dreamed of him. She blushed as he once again entered her mind. He was so kind, so handsome. She was so in love that it made her want to giggle like a schoolgirl.
It's not that great.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Sally finally...
Go back, rewind.
Sally finished scrubbing a plate and placed it on the drying rack.
Oh my god, the story's so hot.
She was still waiting for the day he would ask her to marry him. Then at last, she could achieve her greatest fantasy. Housewife.
Aspirations for women in the 21st century!
Hey! Well, it's better than being dead.
I don't know.
But she is!
Dead.
To Sally, being Jack's little wife would be a dream come true. She had imagined the scenario dozens of times.
You know, this is how horror movies get started.
Jack, exhausted from work, would walk through the front door of their home and call out. Oh, it's been a while since I watched,
Oh, it doesn't matter. Just do whatever voice you feel is appropriate.
Honey, I'm home, he would say.
And then the dinosaurs theme would start playing. No, no, the wrong dinosaurs theme.
Puppets. Sally would come out of the dining room, drying her delicate hands on a towel.
Welcome home, darling,
she would chatter happily. Jack would then look his wife up and down, his eyes hungrily staring at her body. She would blush, and nervously shift her feet, shy and thrilled of his lust-filled stare. Then he would walk forward abruptly, startling her to open her mouth.
David, I need you to open your mouth. Wah!
He would take that chance to grab her wrists and smash his mouth over hers. At first, she would struggle with the force of his kiss, but would gradually accept it and even return the favor. Their tongues would slide over each other in a fierce battle of control, Jack eventually winning as he... Like he always did. Jack would then cease kissing and bring a disappointed whine from her throat. She would grin. He would grin slyly and then attack her neck. She would moan as he hungrily sucked her neck and groped her neglected breasts. He would massage her tits expertly and playfully flick the nipples, making her groan with anticipation and pleasure.
Oh my god, calm down, please. and pleasure, I think, is what you tried to say.
Before
you had the conniption fit, which is okay. Alright, my turn. She would start panting and rubbing her legs together to get friction on her wet pussy. Wait a minute, I thought she was like a straw doll. Wouldn't that cause her to catch on fire?
She's not a straw doll, she's like a flesh doll.
Something like that. He would notice and stick his hand into the wet folds of her jeans to rub her aching spot. An electric shock would go up her spine and make her cry out. This rubbing would go on for several more minutes, further building up to her eventual release. But, just as it is about to happen, he withdraws his hand. She would protest in anger and frustration and demand he finish the job, sweating and flustered. He would smile deviously and then tell her to turn around and place her hands on the dining room table. Oh, so it's good cop, bad cop. She would blush, knowing what he wanted. She would slowly nod and turn her back to him, pushing her put outwards until it was wiggling temptingly in his face. What's her put?
Put.
Put?
Put.
Put?
Put. Put. Put.
Put.
Put, Demi put. Lovato's sister.
It's put put.
He would then give her ass a good slap, drawing a lusty moan from her throat.
Oh, Bill!
Oh, come on.
No, Jack!
At that point, he would be at his breaking point.
Because, you know, his bone's breaking.
Or Point Break, starring Keanu Reeves. Painfully erect and ready to fuck her brains out. Oh, knowing this universe, that would literally happen. He would sloppily unbutton her jeans and then rip them of her sexy ass, ready for what was to come. There would be no foreplay. Obviously, the writer is one-handing it right now, writing with their left hand. He would whip his huge cock out, giving it a few good strokes to get it to full length. And then, with no warning, he would shove it into her dripping pussy. You kinda have to warn them. You can't just go all in. There's muscles that need to be untensed.
Nope.
At this point in her fantasy, Sally already had two fingers inside her pussy and was rubbing messily. With one hand in the sink and the other masturbating, the dishes lay forgotten in the sink. Because they established that it was in the sink.
Hey, it was in the sink.
Little puffs of air kept escaping her open mouth, and every so often she would hit a good spot and groan with longing for Jack's dick. She needed it bad. She wanted to get fucked sideways and have her world rocked! She wanted the neighbors to know her name because she was screaming so loud. Fuck. Jack! Yes! She moaned, imagining it was Jack and not her tiny fingers that was stirring up her pussy. She used her thumb to press her clit and let out a sexy moan.
She could already feel her release approaching. Her fingers sped up and soon had her panting like a dog in heat. A tidal wave was rapidly approaching her. Whoa, tidal wave? Oh my god, you better get out of the way, lady. And she began to yell out, Jack! Oh yes, fuck me. Fuck me good. It was practically upon her, and then it was stopped. Her pumping fingers had been halted by someone grabbing her arm from behind. She snapped her head back to see who it was. To her surprise, it was Jack. Jack, I didn't hear you come home, she said hesitantly. Jack said nothing. She carefully pulled at her arm, trying to shake him off. She grew frustrated when he did not yield. Jack! Let me finish. I was so close, she whined. Once more, he said nothing. Instead, he pulled her hand out of her needy pussy and made her grab onto the sink with both hands. Jack, what are you? She was immediately silenced by the sound of his fly being unzipped. She nearly squirted from the sound alone. She knew what was coming. Jack pulled out his flaccid cock and jerked it a few times. Finding that it still wasn't fully erect, he pulled down her pants and stuck his dick in her ass crack. Sally let out a mewl of pleasure, feeling his soft and silky cock, rubbing her sopping pussy.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
Halloween.
Jacking off, and it fingers in her pussy.
She began oh dear god. He began desperately wiggling her hips, trying to get his penis inside her.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Yeah?
He teasingly kept it just out of her reach.
I can't get it!
Ha ha! Ha ha, no dick for you! Eventually, she couldn't take it anymore. Jack, please! She moaned.
Don't let go, Jack! Oh wait, wrong movie.
His dick was now painfully hard, and he grabbed it with his hand. Sally licked her lips with excitement and anticipation. He carefully lined up his cock with her entrance, and then shoved it in hard.
Alright, next up is Garrett. And I'm actually gonna let our two guests end tonight. Garrett, you get one more time, and Lucas, you get one more time.
You know what, you're so kind, Steve-O.
I know.
Benevolent master you are.
Yee, penis.
Sally opened her mouth and cried out several times as he began pumping back and forth into her from behind. Like a well-oiled machine, he pistoned his hips into her quickly and roughly. He was reaching deep inside her, and the tip of his cock was kissing her womb. He reached out and fondled her boobs, pinching the dimples violently and pulling on her tits. She moaned as his skillful hands twisted her sharp peaks deliciously. He let go of her breasts and went back to concentrating on her ass. As he pumped his cock mercilessly into her pussy, he grabbed her shaking ass and rubbed it lovingly. Sally knew he preferred taking her from behind. It was his favorite position. He extended his arms and brought it down to smack her ass harshly and get another groan of lust-filled pain from her. He began timing his slaps in sync with his thrusting dick, slapping her when his cock was completely buried inside. Sally's mind was going blank as she was royally fucked. Every time his dick slid inside her, she felt a piece of her mind break away. That's some good dick. She didn't care, though. Her orgasm was approaching quickly, and she didn't worry about anything else. In her indescribable pleasure, she found herself shouting out, "God, yes. Fuck. Oh, my go. Oh, my go. Fuck me harder, Jack," she screamed. Jack was more than happy to oblige. He grabbed both of her wrists and yanked her backwards, burying his cock even further into her pussy. Sally screamed with joy and began drooling as his incredible dick fucked her stupid. Fuck, fuck, yes, yeah, ooh. She was going to come soon. She could tell Jack was too. His hips were picking up the pace and his thrusts were becoming more and more sloppy. "I'm gonna come soon, should I pull out?" he grunted. Sally's eyes widened and her pussy tightened threateningly, stopping any chance of escape. Jesus! She began bucking against him even harder, finally drawing moan from his end. "Don't you fucking dare. You can't pull out before I come." "And besides," she said, smiling lecherously and batting her eyelashes seductively, "I want to have your baby." It's all you, Lucas.
All right.
Jam the whole mic in your mouth and
please
talk.
Don't do this.
I actually can. This is a laptop. I don't know where the mic input is on this. So
yeah, put your mouth on every part of the laptop.
I was just gonna put my mouth on like every part.
Oh, Jack.
Jack's eyes widened, but he was pumping even harder. Are you sure?
I think a clown voice would be good here. Something really goofy.
"Oh, are you sure?" he asked, sounding hopeful. Sally threw her head back and screamed as she felt her orgasm begin to take over her.
"Oh, this makes King Candy very turned on!"
"Great King, yes! Fill me with your hot cum and make me pregnant with your child!"
"Whoa, hold up! Stop the bus!"
"Oh, you don't want me to do the voice anymore?"
No, I want you to keep going, but and make me pregnant with your child. That's like, oh, hold on, you need to talk about this ahead of time.
Okay, we have to sit down, can I have a talk?
Jack dips out.
He rips off his arm bone, shoves it in there, and runs.
Is that stopping it? Is that just, ugh, I don't want to think about it.
"Fuck, yes, fuck, ... Jack felt a stirring in his body. I can't keep the voice.
Okay, I'm not gonna do it. I can't keep a consistent voice.
Yeah, just go ahead and read it.
Jack felt a stirring in his balls and gave one final thrust.
Where's the R horn? Shoving the head of his cock as deep as possible. Sally screamed as he groaned and they both came explosively. Cum began filling Sally's pussy, and her whole body shivered involuntarily as she felt Jack's warm seed seep into her.
Wipe out!
Jack stayed put for a minute to let Sally ride out the rest of her orgasm.
Alright, everybody, stay still for a minute. Let's just let this ride out.
Can you give it a moment?
Let's take an exact minute. 60 seconds, starting now. A moment of silence for Jack's libido. Alright, I'm done waiting.
Remember all the memories.
All the sperms that died.
Sally immediately collapsed on the ground. Floor, and twitched as cum spilled from her gaping pussy.
That's a really creepy, like, mental image. Like, when those dolls that just kind of twitch and random. Ugh.
Twitch is not a very sexy word.
Twitch.
Twitch.
I'll make it sexy, goddammit.
Touch. Jack let out a sigh of relief after their workout. Sat down in one a chair, completely drained. He leaned his head back and closed his eyes, exhausted from both his day at work and the unbelievable sex he had just had. What he really needed was a nap, but he felt something on his lap and it prevented him from sleeping. He cracked open an eye to glance down at his lap. Sally winked at him, her mouth filled with his semi-erect cock.
I love you, Jack.
How was your day, honey? She was sucking off the remnants of sperm and swallowing happily. Once she had successfully cleaned his dick, she released with a pop and gave it a few good licks for measure.
I can't make the popping noise like I used to.
She then climbed onto his lap and settled in, wrapping her arms around his neck and cuddling him. Jack smiled and kissed her forehead, drawing a giggle from her. She pressed her breasts against his chest and played with his soft cock.
That's a tongue twister right there. She pressed her breasts against her chest.
It made me feel quite depressed.
Oh, don't get so stressed. It's no contest.
Stop.
Jack wasn't getting hard, though. He was too tired. Sally knew this as well, but she was fine with just playing with the stick anyway.
You gotta respect the refractory period, dude.
Also, Logan, why would you protest?
Can I just read the rest?
Sure, go ahead.
Jack relaxed into his chair and sighed happily, his sexy girlfriend lovingly stroking his cock.
No. You pull your hand away from it, you have that, like, really sensitive feeling afterward, and it feels all weird, and you kind of just, like, cringe a little bit. Yeah.
He could already tell she was going to get pregnant with this child. Their family
I can feel the child inside me already!
Their family would soon be gaining another member. Jack smiled lazily. Life was good.
And with
dun,
that,
dun, dun.
And with that, thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Garrett, for joining us this evening. You guys have been wonderful. Always, thanks to my co-hosts, David and Logan, and Val. Thank you for joining a little bit late. And everybody in the chat room. Afrohawk, V-Strader, Disambiguity, Dude Bro, Gary Kuhn, GBZ23, Sean Temsu, and Wolfboy1988. Y'all are awesome. And join us next week. We got a couple more weeks to go until we start our lawn fic.
Yeah, there.
Ooh.
You gotta mow it.
Yes, you do gotta mow it. And I hope you all have a wonderful week, and we'll see y'all later.
Happy New Year.
It's friggin' November.
It's over.
Happy New Year.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Deforestation by Thunder Thoen, and Castlemania 2010 by Ben Briggs. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.